Today's Watson Weekly is a special edition that is one of a series of three interviews recorded at Shopware's Partner Day on April 24th, 2025. These were recorded in the basement of a German beer hall and restaurant, so I think those interested in the digital commerce complexity of serving manufacturers and distributors should find it a lot of fun.
We're here with Rob Miller, the EVP of Customer Growth at Smith Commerce, here at Shopware's Partner Day in the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois. Welcome, Rob.
No, thanks for having me. It's beautiful here, sunny, and not so windy today. So.
Yeah, not so windy. That's good. Although I'm told windy is because of the politicians, although I think I learned something today. Why don't we start simple? Who and what is Smith Commerce?
We are a full-service digital agency focused with commerce at the core. And as long as that commerce and that customer interaction, we expand then to marketing, search, customer experience, all the rest of it. But the commerce has always been at the core, and the commerce for us is really focused around B2B commerce.
Got it. And why are you here today at the event?
Really to learn from other partners, mm-hmm. Industry experts like yourself, and gather thoughts going into next week's B2B Online.
Nice. And, you know, IT is such a strange field. I love listening to why people got into the space. Generally, like, what was the start of your journey like?
Many years ago. But it was in and around the late 90s this thing called the e-commerce and the web coming around, and really trying to figure how do you digitize moments mm-hmm. that at the time were very physical.
Right.
Yeah. And from there, loved distribution, factory automation, and how do I take that full journey is where I started.
Got it. And obviously you make it full service. Sounds like you sold an agency in the past, and then you kind of got the band back together to form a new agency to focus on complex B2B. Who's your ideal customer at Smith?
We're having a lot of fun in both the wholesale distribution industry. There's a lot of changes occurring, mergers, acquisitions, and then from there, the next evolution is really around the manufacturer distribution together and what mm-hmm. that looks like right now.
Got it. And complex commerce, I feel like it's almost an overused term at this point. That's kind of like, it's a bit too generic to communicate to an audience, especially that's not as familiar as it with you, like you are. If you were to break down what makes commerce simpler versus more complex, and clearly it's a spectrum, what are the axes of that complexity that you think about?
The first and foremost is the account customer hierarchy. So when you're doing business as B2B, you have your customer is a company. That customer has many locations, many different org levels, many different approval levels. And then even one step further, that customer then has customers of their own that have rules of what you can and can't do. Mm-hmm. So that setup of the customer first and foremost, and that account hierarchy is very, very important.
Right.
And then from there, it's really two more axes. One is around the product and pricing. Mm. So what can be sold to whom at what price?
Right.
And then
that's its own journey depending on how complex the category is.
And it's a category. And you know, you have geopolitical things that can and can't be done. And
right.
then you go down a ship, two things can't be shipped together, or right. this is cold. That's, you know, so it's a challenge in that sense. And then finally, I think it's just where we're at now. It's an evolution, but we're finally at that point of the customer and if it's wholesale distribution, have interoperability themselves with systems, because clouds are finally you and I were talking about this a little earlier, right. Working together.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like the tools had gotten a lot better. And I wanted to focus on the CRM aspect, because it seems to me like CRM has become a piece of software, but people forgot what CRM originally meant, which is customer relationship management. Customer relationship management isn't about technology.
No. Has nothing to do with technology. It's about you having the right information on both sides, you and the customer, to be able to conduct business, communicate together, work together, collaborate together. So to me, it's more of a collaboration tool. And if you can do it naturally and you can inform each other at the right moments in time, that collaboration works better. So it's there, but people tried making it more than it was.
Right. And at some point, look, consumers are buying, I would say, largely in categories that aren't too expensive. They're buying on their own for themselves, or they're buying as a gift for someone else, right? But then B2B, you're buying either the raw materials for their own business, or it's more of like an indirect procurement type of situation where they're buying things that their business needs, but they're not putting it into their primary product. How do you see, like, what are some of the more complex scenarios you've been involved with in your career?
I mean, if I was thinking back, and it's a scientific instrument, but if you think about this from both a selling and attribution level, it starts all the way back at the universities, because you're trying to get the students and the professors to think differently, whether that's engineering or whatever they're in. So that when they go on to their next company, they have a better understanding. But then that buying process is still at that engineer level, has to be able to prove how you're going to use whatever the tool component is. And then from there, it usually goes into a subsystem to a system. And eventually procurement gets involved.
Right.
But that attribution is all along the way. And from a marketing sales point of view, or the CRM point of view,
right,
you really want to understand what's influencing.
Right. You kind of miss the whole original.
But the original is important.
Right.
Because it wouldn't have happened at the end without that.
It kind of goes back to sort of Apple. Like, why did Apple go after the student market? And then the reason is because when they get out and want to work for a job, they're going to buy Apple devices.
Yeah. I mean, I am going to date myself, but I remember the first Next computer that Steve Jobs built when he separated, but it was in the computer lab. All of us went to play with that computer.
Right.
He did it on purpose. He gifted those to every computer lab at the time that I know of. People played with it. And then when he came back to Apple, we went straight to him.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's interesting. As you think about the technologies, like, what technologies are most exciting to you right now that customers don't yet realize can help them?
So I'm at a point, everybody's going to say AI. And my view is AI for orchestration. So you and I can use AI to be more efficient, and the companies can use it to be more efficient. But if I can have AI start to easily connect systems, easily troubleshoot on multiple systems, multiple clouds, and we're there. You know, we're probably 2 years away from you and I really being able to collaborate. And not, it doesn't matter which systems we're on. And that to me is really, it's going to be magical, because there's so much money spent today in integration that could be spent on advancing products or advancing other things. And so to me, that's my excitement.
Yeah. I mean, how do you define I mean, for the audience that might not as be familiar as you, how would you define orchestration when you're talking about multiple systems? Like, what is the primary value that's being delivered?
So let's take, for the audience, if we have a CRM, to your point, a marketing automation tool, an e-commerce tool. Mm-hmm. Today, whatever system you're on, you're paying SIs like myself to connect those, make sure that the records are properly being passed back and forth for the attribution and everything else. And you're paying people to monitor, are they working? Mm-hmm. And if they're not working, what's the fail safe? How do you get to that? Mm-hmm. So there's not going to be a magic button. It just works. But
waiting for one.
There's a lot of money in that. But if you can really trim the cost there, speed up that process, and not worry about which products you picked for a 10-year path, you worry about, hey, I'm picking the best product at that moment. And if something else comes out 2 years later, 3 years later, I can evolve, versus all of us had a 10-year ROI on commerce systems and marketing automation systems and CRM systems, or even further. And to me, that's some of the excitement too, because I can switch and I can evolve.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's fascinating. I wanted to go back to something you said before, and one of the reasons that makes complex commerce complex is customer account hierarchy. I think it's like, let's be honest, it's kind of a geeky topic. For a simple idea, like how do you represent the customer's business and their business relationships and how they're structured and who can do what to who and where? Why is it so interesting to you?
So I'll take it in the simplest form. If you do customer ride-alongs in B2B, and you're with the sales, literally ride-alongs, and you're with the sales or a service rep or the counter person, and you watch the interaction of what is the customer holding in their hand to do research, what is the person using at their fingertips to have that conversation back and forth, and you start to figure out what are all the pieces and parts to put together, that to me is the excitement, because you're then allowing, as I said before, the collaboration to really start to happen at that moment in time. But if you're smarter, that collaboration can continue to happen after you separate. So all of us like healthy reminders. All of us like exploration of a new product, a new feature set, things of that nature. Now we know how that person likes to receive it, when they like to receive it,
right,
who they're sharing with, and all of that can start, that collaboration starts to spiral in a good way, and you allow commerce to occur easier, more natural.
And so I guess let's talk about a few different flows with regards to customer and accounts. One is how people pay for things and get them approved. And the second is how things get delivered. Okay. How does that intersect with your customer account question?
I'll take it one step further. It also relates to what the product is as well. Mm. So if I take it from at the simplest level, it's roles and hierarchy. So you're going to have a type of a customer, and then you're going to have type of roles, and then you have people attached to those roles. And then from there, you can build rules. So you ask why I'm here at the shop. Where part of this is I want to look at their rule system that they built, because to me, that's really important. Once those rules are built, they need to be adaptable and changeable, because your customer is going to mature.
Right. The business changes.
The business changes. Not only does the business change, those rules have to apply finally to the products, because the products are going to evolve too. And finally, then that leads you to your shipping question. Depending on the product mix, certain products can and can't be sent together. Some are highly perishable. Some have to be shipped in a certain time zone, others don't. So now having a smart enough order orchestration to say, hey, let's split this. The customer's not going to, you know, all that magic that happens behind the scenes should not be presented to the customer. It's going to look like a mess, but how do I make that then comfortable for the customer to purely understand, hey, I split your order for this reason and you're going to get better service. Yeah. That's a better experience than why did they split my order? You know, things like that. So it all works together though. Right. It really does.
Yeah. I mean, you've been doing this since the kind of the mid 90s all the way through today in the technology space. Why do you keep doing it?
I love it. I really do. We probably do this for free.
Don't let your customers hear that.
It wakes me up each morning. It's also exciting how far technology has come to allow the ease and operability of system integrations. It's amazing, you know, what you can do on your cell phone. Mm-hmm. And which wasn't there.
Right.
Yeah, mine was a backpack originally. Right. It wasn't a cell phone. It didn't have a screen. Yeah. So, no, it's really the ease and interoperability of what you can do with multiple systems. It's simple on that. And then how far you can push it.
Right.
Because the more you can push it, the more people can work together. And I'm not trying to replace the human interaction. Everybody tries to do that with digitalization. No, I want collaboration where digital helps the interaction of people. Right. And that's, to me, the magic. Yeah. You know, it can be as simple as user experience, but if you get that right with the technology, the multipliers are huge out there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Any last words for the audience, things that they should keep in mind on your journey? What is your favorite part of your day-to-day job? Is it these ride-alongs? I saw a little spark in your eye when you started talking about the ride-alongs.
I think I'll end with two for the audience. Don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, don't be afraid. Explore. See what's out there. And then the final piece is please, please, please take a look at what you're doing today, what you can change as a company from your point of view and the customer's point of view, and embrace change. Change is scary to all of us, but it's a lot simpler today than it was in the past. So embrace it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the time, Rob. I am looking forward, like you, to seeing all the presentations and interactions, and most importantly, the human relationships that we can develop today at the Shopware Partner Day. So thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a great day. I appreciate it, Rob. Thank you. Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host, Jess Lisesky, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find the Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. Our production partner for the series is Podcasts on the Fly. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/WatsonWeekly and wherever you get your podcasts.